What is it?
Can we like go to like the cafeteria or something and then like come back?
No, no. The time, we don't get enough time, school. Schooling time, we don't have enough time. Just make sure you waste your time during the summer. How? There are like, I have like 25 ways of wasting your time during the summer. I'm going to post them online so that you can waste your time online now. I'm going to put online 20 ways of wasting your time. So for example, bring a piece of paper and copy stories 7 times. Bring a pencil and put it in your nose and... No, I'm saying these are ways of throwing days off the window. You know, you are nothing but a piece of time, right?
Where does Candy sit?
We are nothing but a piece of time. When this piece of time ends, we die. When we're born, this is the beginning of the piece of time, right? So if you throw a day from the window, you're throwing part of you. A portion of you are throwing out from the window. Because if you are going to live 60 years, let's say, so you have 60 ice blocks. If you waste a year, then it's like throwing one from... That was nice.
This is really dramatic.
It's kind of scary if you think about it like that.
Yeah, it is.
You're throwing away.
Yes. Another way to think about it is the sun, the ice is melting. It's melting. Your present, your existence is like an ice that melts.
It's scary. That's like different.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's the truth. I remember very clearly when I was your age. I remember, it was like yesterday. And when you grow older like me, you're going to feel the same way. You're going to feel that, oh my God, that was just like yesterday. You can't remember, you know. And time will sneak on you. And you will find yourself getting older. So I'm hitting 50 now. And I feel that I just feel that I haven't lived for 50 years. It's hard for me to believe that I have been living for 50 years. Okay. Do you guys remember which feature did Dr. Iqbal? You guys know who is Dr. Iqbal?
He was the substitute that came in last week.
Yes, he was the substitute that came last week. Okay? Do you...
Oh, did you get the picture?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you remember which feature did he finish? Which feature did he get last?
I think we were up to
five
good traits.
Or not five, but they were technically eight.
So it is five. Do. Okay. So we're going to do the shirk, making shirk for in your life, making shirk. The ayah says that والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر. The ones who don't pray to someone else other than Allah, or the ones who don't treat other things the way Allah to be treated. If I treat you the way Allah to be treated, then I'm worshipping. you. Okay? If I love you more than Allah loves you, then I'm worshiping you. You understand that? Okay, so what is the evil love? Huh? What's the evil love? Love is good, but what's the evil love?
Loving someone more than Allah.
More than Allah. What's the good love?
Loving someone
less than Allah. Right? So that's the criteria. Love is something wonderful. Without love, this life would be impossible. And wars and killing take place because of we have a love crisis. You understand that? So love is good. But when does the love become too much and becomes evil? If you love someone more than you love Allah. Okay? If you do obey someone that asks you to disobey Allah. Yes. Yes. Let's say somebody asks you to give a false testimony in court. So somebody says, give me a false testimony. So you go to court and you give a false testimony. And you do. So what did you do here? You obeyed someone who asked you to disobey, huh?
Allah.
Allah. So that is your, that is when becomes evil. Okay? So they don't pray to others than Allah. They don't treat anybody the way Allah is to be treated. You know the pagans? The pagans, like they worship, let's say this guy here. Let's say that's an idol that the pagans worship. They treat this idol the same way they should treat Allah. They pray to who? This idol. They sacrifice to who? Animals to who? This idol, right? So, and then the custodian of the idol tells them, okay, let's call the idol Boo-Boo. So the custodian of the idol is the custodian of Boo-Boo. He pretends that he talks to Boo-Boo. So he's saying, I'm going to tell you what Boo-Boo thinks. Yeah, okay, I'm going to tell them. Oh, you want them to do that? Oh, sure. And then he tells you, oh, God wants you to vote to Trump. Or God wants you to sacrifice animals to the church or whatever. Or like to the temple. God says this and that. He's talking in the name of Boo-Boo. Because he claims to be the one who communicates with Boo-Boo. Got it? So, worshipping idols is not only, associating with Allah is not only worshipping idols. It's treat somebody the way Allah should have been treated, to love somebody the way Allah to be loved, and to obey somebody who wants you to disobey Allah. Now, so what is the biggest thing? Allah says, Allah forgives everything without repentance. Allah may forgive everything without repentance. Anything without repentance. Allah may forgive what? Anything without repentance. Except shirk. For shirk, for Allah to forgive shirk, you have to repent. Let's say I lied and I forgot about it and then I forgot to repent. In the day of judgment, Allah may forgive my lie. Even though I didn't repent, but Allah may forgive. Right? If you do backbite and you didn't repent, when you go meet Allah, even though you didn't repent, Allah may forgive you. But shirk is not forgivable without repentance. What is that sin that cannot be forgiven even with repentance? Huh? What else? Shirk. Huh? Any sin? I mean, what is the sin that cannot be forgiven, period, even with repentance? Murder?
The murder?
You can't repent.
Sure? Yeah, you can't. Even if you repent, your repentance is not accepted. Shirk, or association, barking up with Allah? Hypocrisy?
Yes.
Huh? False testimony? The answer is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that cannot be forgiven by repentance. By what?
Repentance.
Once you repent, Allah will wipe it off. Let's say you do a bad deed often. So let's say you smoke, for example, or you drink wine. and then you drink wine, and then you repent. Then Allah will forgive you. So, and then you come back and drink wine, and then you repent. Would Allah forgive you? Yes. If you keep drinking wine and repenting, Allah will keep forgiving you. Okay? Now, if Allah, if you repent, yes.
What's the definition of repent?
I'm going to come to it. Very good question. Excellent question. Now, if you drink wine once, you repent, and then you come back and drink wine twice, would Allah count? Would Allah take away your repentance for repentance number one? Let's say, follow this. If you drink wine and repentance number one, okay, you repent from this. Then you go drink wine twice. Then would Allah cancel your repentance number one? Absolutely not. Allah is so generous that even if you do it again, He doesn't take away His repentance. So you keep doing it, you keep repenting, Allah. So when does Allah stop forgiving you? When you stop repenting. Got it? Allah will never give up on you until you give up on repentance and you want to stop repentance. Now, very good question, Aida. Very good question. Like, what's the definition of repentance? There are three conditions for repentance. Number one, in your heart, you feel sorry. You feel sorry in your heart. You feel sorry in your heart. Number two, is to make a sincere promise to Allah that I will stop. To make sincere promise to Allah that I will stop. That's number two. Number three, to make istighfar. Say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, forgive me Allah. You ask for forgiveness. And there are an additional condition that sometimes it says that if you have taken money from someone, then you give it back. So if I stole money from Sudaba, for example, okay, and then I repent, and I know Sudaba, then I can give the money back to Sudaba. Do I have to give it in person? No, I don't have to. I can send it through somebody else so that Sudaba will not know that I'm a thief and I stole his money. You got it? If you take away the house of somebody, okay, by force, okay, and then you repent. So what do you do with the house? Keep it?
Give it.
That's right. So got it? Three conditions generally, and you add fourth condition when you can, when it's property, you give it back. Got it? Okay. So what is the sin that cannot be forgiven even with repentance? None. If you think that there is a sin, if you think that there is a sin that cannot be forgiven with repentance, then you have committed an evil act, which is called despair of the mercy of Allah. Called what?
Despair.
When you despair the mercy of Allah, means that you believe that this thing cannot be forgiven with repentance. Oh, yes, I've been recording since the Quran. Oh, okay. We'll just split it home. Okay? You understand that? Do you understand? Despairing the mercy of Allah, is it sin or not a sin? Sin. Why? Because you think that this sin is more than the thing that you did, is bigger than the mercy of Allah. Right? There is no sin that's bigger than the mercy of Allah. Right? There's absolutely no sin. So despairing is haram. Don't despair. With a repentance, wishy-washy, it's gone. However, let me give you an example. Let's say this is a wine cup. Can I repent like this? Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Or you're dating. And during your dating, you say, astaghfirullah. Forgive me, Ya Allah. So that doesn't work. That's mocking Allah. So that's bad. So now we know that what is protecting us from shirk? Islam, right? Islam tells us what causes shirk. Okay? So how do you know if there's something shirk or not? Where do you go? Islam, right? Islam. So Islam is protecting us from making shirk because Islam tells us what to do to avoid shirk. Go, then keep that in mind. Keep this in your mind. We are lucky that Allah gave us Islam. Why? That's the best favor. Why? Because this path will make us end up in what? Jannah. Could be other paths, other ways of life that will take you to Jannah? No, except Islam. Got it? Do you understand that? So what are the way of life that will take you to Jannah? Islam. What if you follow other ways of life? You don't get to Jannah. Okay? Somebody says, okay, how about the people who are non-Muslims? So they are following a way of life that will lead them where? Not Jannah. Because usually they are committing shirk. Committing shirk. Okay? Like, for example, let's say the Christians, they are treating Jesus the way Allah should have been treated. Okay? Is this way of life going to Jannah? No. Okay? So, we talk about the day of judgment. Let's say you're Christian. Do I say you're not going to Jannah by name? I don't know. But the people who follow the path of Christianity are not going to Jannah. What's wrong? Let's think together. What's wrong of us saying that people who follow other ways of life are going to Jannah? It's possible for them to go to Jannah. What if we say that people who are following other ways of life other than Islam, it's possible for them to go to Jannah? Then what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Well, in a way, people won't really care if they're Muslim, and then they can finish, and then
I can still
go to
Jannah. Uh-huh. Makes sense? Yeah, what else? I'm saying, what would be wrong if we say that other ways of life may take you to Jannah? What's wrong with that? Huh? Yes, but what is wrong logically speaking? Huh? Okay. So logically speaking, what's wrong with that? If I say that other ways of life may take you to Jannah, then what's wrong with this statement?
You're not defining what other ways of life are.
No, other than Islam. Logically. Okay, so here, listen to this logic. Listen to this logic. Ready for the logic? The logic is, if Islam tells you that other ways of life may take you to Jannah, then Islam is telling you you don't have to be a Muslim. Do you understand? Do you understand how ridiculous is that? Yes, go ahead.
Isn't that what Olaf kind of said, like when I said that no
one will, people will think about converting because they can be going to Jannah. And like, yeah, anyone can go, so it's not the same thing. Yeah, same thing. If you say anyone goes to Jannah, okay, then Islam says you don't have to be a Muslim. If Christians say that, let's say Christians say any way of life other than Christianity will not take you to Jannah, right? The Christian God, okay? They don't take into that. It makes sense. Why? Because if they say you don't have to be a Christian to go to Jannah, it means that what? Christianity is saying you don't have to be Christian. Right? Islam says you don't have to be a Muslim. If Islam would acknowledge other ways of life to be ways to get you to Jannah, do you understand? How about people, individuals? The only ones we can say for sure they are going to hell are who? Hitler?
No,
we don't know. Pharaoh?
Yes.
How come?
Because it's written in the
Quran. How about Abu Lahab?
Yes.
Why?
It's written in the Quran.
Exactly. Perfect. So, can we say, anybody, can I say Hitler going to Jannah? Going to hell for sure?
No.
I have no idea. However, I'm kind 99.9% tempted to say that he's going to Jannah. But it's a sin to say that somebody's going to hell fire or Allah is not going to forgive someone. It's a sin. You are not, there's a hadith that says, Qudsi, that says, a man says to his brother, Allah will never forgive you. Then Allah got upset and he said, who are you to talk about me, to talk about on my behalf and say Allah will not forgive you? You know what? I'm going to forgive him and I'm going to not forgive you. You got it? Okay. Because that's something that Allah despises. Allah doesn't like that. Okay. So, what if Allah wants to guide someone, then Allah will guide someone to Islam. Allah says that whomsoever Allah wants to guide, wants to get to Jannah, then He will guide him to Islam. If there's someone that Allah doesn't want to give in Jannah, then He misguides him away from Islam. And the ayah says that Islam will bother them, really bother them, the ones who Allah don't want to send to Jannah. Islam bothers them in a way, and then Allah gives an example, in a way that if they are climbing uphill, if they're climbing up in the atmosphere, in the sky, if they are climbing up in the skies, then the same feet, what happens when you climb up? Oxygen becomes less. And would you feel okay breathing? You would feel a lot of pain because you can't breathe. So Allah used this example. Allah said that if someone I don't want to send to Jannah, I make his feelings about Islam so uncomfortable, so like though they can't breathe. We make it look like that we can't breathe. Okay. You know Prophet Muhammad, you know about the uncle of Prophet Muhammad, Abu Talib? Mm-hmm. What about him? What do you know about him? Did he die as a Muslim? No. How come? Allah didn't want him to go to Jannah. So, how useful was he in spreading Islam? What's his role? Extremely important, right? Why is it extremely important? Because he provided what to Prophet Muhammad? Protection. People, Arab lords, want to do what to Prophet Muhammad? Who protected him? His uncle. So, he did a lot to Islam. Okay? However, because he died as a non-Muslim, Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet that he's not going to Jannah. And then Allah said to the Prophet, very nice ayah. Allah said, you do not guide whomsoever you want. I guide what I want. Why? Because he was so sad about his uncle. So Allah told him, learn the lesson. You cannot guide whom you want. Who gets that privilege? Me, Allah. I am the one who guides what I want. So this ayah was revealed in this particular situation. So Allah will guide people by birth and conversion, right? I think you guys all guided by birth, right? You're guided by birth, right? Allah also may guide others by conversion. Like we have a lot of converts. So Allah guided them by conversion. And Allah guides people by birth. Okay? And the other way around is true. Now there is a scientific miracle here about climbing up the skies. Remember the scientific miracle? We didn't know in the old days when you climb up the skies you have less oxygen and your chest would feel terrible, hard breathing. So when it was mentioned in the Quran, it's scientific merit because it's a scientific fact. Okay. Allah also said that those who disbelieve, and if they are able to bring in the Day of Judgment a gold as large, as many as this earth. So imagine converting this earth into gold. If you bring this much gold to Allah in the Day of Judgment, then would Allah accept it?
No.
Would Allah spare you?
No.
No. Even if you come with an ore, earth full of, like you convert earth into gold and bring it with you, you will not going to be forgiven. Then you say, okay, how about, okay, if Allah wills that you become a Muslim, and Allah wills that I become a non-Muslim. Okay, so Allah wills that Sudaba to become a Muslim, and Allah wills that I become a non-Muslim. Then, can I blame Allah? Can I say Allah is responsible? But He's the one who made me non-Muslim. Then how?
Because your original intent was
to be Muslim,
like, your intent
was. It's your choice, right?
It's free will, but Allah can influence you, and kind of, and you didn't want to do that, so
he wants to. It's like your choices, right? You chose that. Then, who is responsible? You. So, guidance and misguidance come from where? Allah. How come you, Allah, you're almost guiding this person? That's his choice. That's his choice. Or her choice. That's your choice. So I guide you if you choose guidance. I misguide you if you choose misguidance. Now, there is an example in the Quran about a person who wanted to be misguided, but Allah stopped him from being misguided. Who? You know this, the story of Prophet Musa and the righteous believer when he killed the boy? And the boy was meant to grow up to be a criminal, right? By killing him, then Allah stopped him from being a criminal and he goes away to Jannah. Okay? So Allah did this as an honor to his parents. Okay? Because he was killed as a boy, would Allah judge him for being a criminal? No. Because he didn't make the choices yet. Okay. Then, if Allah knows about where you go, and He has written that already, then how do you explain that? How do you explain Allah knows it, but He's not forcing you? Oh, He will not force anybody, but He knows your choices. You know how? Remember that example about do cows fly on their own? Remember that example? When I ask you, do cows fly on your own? What is going to be the answer? Hannah? Ayla? What is going to be the answer if I ask you, can cows fly on their own? What's the answer? Faham, what's the answer? Can cows fly on their own? What's your answer?
No.
No. How about you? No. How about you? How about you, Ayla? No. Right? Is that right? You know what? I knew you're going to say no. But did I force you to say no?
No.
I didn't force you. However, I knew it. Why? Because I know the question. Because I know the what? Because I know what?
Yeah.
The question. Okay? The question is very easy question. And I know that you have some kind of intelligence. So I know your answer. How about if I ask this to a dog? Do cows fly on their own? Would dog give me an answer? Yeah, right. Okay. But when I ask you have some intelligence, I ask you, do cows fly on their own? The answer is? No. I know that you're not a retard. I know that you are like 4 years old, not like 4 years old. So I know all of these things. You understand now? So what I'm trying to prove in this metaphor, I'm trying to prove that I can know things without forcing you. Allah knows things without forcing you. Why? Because he knows you, he knows the question, and then he knows the answer. He knows the answer. He knows what is going to be your answer. Do you understand this example? Okay. Okay. And seventh feature, or seventh trait. Is it seventh trait or feature? Seventh trait or feature? Because we're talking about the traits. What is the seventh one? The seventh one is they do not kill the sacred, the soul that Allah made sacred without a just cause. Give me examples of killing. Give me examples of killing. Okay. When you send troops overseas to kill someone for oil, is that killing or not? Wars of aggression, is that killing or not? We Muslims living in the United States could be responsible, could be held responsible for somebody killed by our army. Do you pay money to support the U.S. Army? Yes or no? Taxes, exactly. So, if the U.S. Army goes and kills somebody overseas, then you're responsible, yes or no? Are you going to be fully responsible?
No.
But you have part of the responsibility. So, what's the way to fix that? No, you have to pay taxes. Don't break the law. But what you do is what? Huh? You lobby. You join the movements. I was at one point of my life, I was in the movement called Peace. Peace movement. Okay? And what we do, we carry signs. If there is a war, if aggression, we carry signs. And we say, stop war. I am against this war. If you do that, then would you still carry the plane? No. What if you talk to other friends and other classmates and you say, I don't like this war? It's a war of aggression. It's a war of aggression. Okay? You know Muhammad Ali, when he was asked to go and fight in Vietnam, what did he say? He said no. Why did he say no? He said, it's a rich man war. What do I have to do with it? If you want to free the slaves over there, just come here and free the slaves in the United States before you go and free the slaves in Vietnam. You got it? And he refused to go to war because it's a war of aggression. How about the war of defense? If we are in a state of defense, somebody is assaulting the United States, can you fight? Can you fight? Somebody's assaulting the United States. Can you fight? Yes. It would be your responsibility to defend the United States, to fight for attacks. For someone to attack the United States, it is your responsibility to fight. Just like ISIS, for example. ISIS is attacking the United States, right? Mm-hmm. ISIS is attacking Europe, right? Mm-hmm. Then Europe and the United States have the right, the divine right, right given by Allah to defend themselves. Okay? To defend themselves against radical movements such as ISIS or Al-Qaeda or all those crazy movements. Okay? All right. You know how many people were killed in the past century? Who remembers? We talked about that. We called it the century of mega. Huh? Death. Exactly. Good. The century of Megadeth. How many people, who can remember, how many people were killed in the century of Megadeth? Huh? Huh? 167 million were killed in the previous century. You guys are all born in this century, right? I was born in the previous century, 68. So I lived in a century that's called the century of Megadeth. Why Megadeth? We talk of these much killing. Guess? Where did they die? The 160 million people. They counted the number of people who died in World War One, plus the number of people who died in World War Two, plus the number of people who died in the atomic attack. Okay, on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? We threw an atomic bomb, right? So plus the people who died in Pearl Harbor, plus the people who died in Vietnam War, plus the people who died in 70 major wars. How many major wars? 7. Just like same size as Vietnam War. This is political what? Insanity. Who caused these deaths? Muslims? No. Who caused these deaths? Huh? European Christians and American Christians are the ones who fought this war. Hitler was a Christian, right? He went to church. So when you can appreciate this verse that they do not kill. Do you know the rule, an eye for eye, eh? What is it? Uh-huh. Tooth for tooth, and? And what?
A life for
eye. Ear for ear and life for life. Okay? This is for justice. Why? Because, hello? Because we want to make sure the criminal is punished. Otherwise, the killing will not stop. Okay? If I can kill you without getting in trouble, then would I stop killing others? No. So we want to make sure the person is caught and is punished, the criminal. Okay. You know the mass shooting? The mass shooting. You know about the mass shooting? That happens every, like, once in a while. How about abortion? Let me get consensus here. Abortion. Who votes yes for abortion? Who votes no for abortion?
My dad says that he thinks that abortion is important in the US because if not, people are still going to get abortions, but they're going to do it by the black market. So if they make it legal, then at least this way more people would be able to do it, but in a safe way instead of hurting themselves.
She has a point. She said that if it's illegal, then they will do that in the black market, and then they will hurt themselves. But if it's legal, then they can do it the safe way. That's an argument. However, from an Islamic perspective, is it moral?
No.
Why not?
Because it's,
is this what?
Is
equivalent to safar. It's equivalent to what?
Murder.
It's equivalent to murder. So, then what are the scenarios where abortion is allowed?
Isn't it something like, you know, that the child is going to have a really bad disease that won't be able to get cured, and you might as well save everyone pain by
Exactly. If the life of the mother is threatened, like if the doctor says, if you deliver this baby, you might die. It's very high possibility that you might die. Then abortion is allowed. It's risk the. However, like just like what Zainab said, this is another situation where it's kind of you have to do an abortion. Why? Because here we have a lot of romance, a lot of dating. What is the output of romance and dating? Babies. Okay? So, babies, that's what you get. So now you have babies, you don't want these babies, so what do? Abortion. So until we fix the problem of romance and dating, until we fix this problem, abortion will always happen. Okay? Do we have abortions in Muslim land? Almost nothing. Almost, even if we have like 0.01%. Okay? It's really rare. Why? Because there is no dating, there is no romance. And when I say romance, I don't mean the romance between husband and wife. I mean the romance between dating couples. They are dating each other. You know that 33% of the babies in the United States came from outside of marriage, romance and dating. Yep. You know that there's an element of injustice in dating. Okay? What is the element of injustice? What do you think is the unfair? What is unfair in dating? Yeah. Right. Yes. But let me put it in a different way so that you know you can figure out exactly what the answer I'm looking for. What you said is true, but that's not the answer I was looking for. Who gets hurt more because of dating? Huh?
The woman, because she could get pregnant and she'll have to become a single mother.
Exactly. Single mother or aborted. Or deserted. You know what I'm saying? You know, the boys are the winners. In dating, the boys are the winners. Why? Because they walk away with no responsibilities. Who is the loser? The girl. That's why when the father tries to stop his girl from, his daughter from dating, it's to protect her. Because the guys would take advantage of her. Why? They will get the pleasure of romance and dating. She gets pregnant, the next day he says, bye, and he's with her girlfriend. There was this commercial that I loved, really loved, about two commercials actually. The first one was about, look at this commercial. It was about a boy and a girl having romance outside of marriage. A boy and a girl having a romance what? Outside of marriage. Okay, they love each other, and the ad shows them dancing and playing and having fun. Okay, that's the first scene. The second scene shows her what? Pregnant. And then the third scene is what? The same boy, her boyfriend, is now with what?
Another girl.
To protect the girls. Say, you are being taken advantage of. You are going to be the loser. Yes. There is also another thing. There is also another thing. Another commercial that I loved. They had they had two balloons. Two what? Balloons inflated. And they draw a guy on one, and then they draw a girl on the other. And then shows the balloons. Happy, talking, yes, You know, the two balloons. And then once the girl says, shouldn't we get married? They let go the valve of the second balloon. So it's what? Flew away. So what's the message? Once you say, shouldn't we get married? What happens? The balloon, you let the nozzle of the balloon, or the valve of the balloon, you let it go, then it's... Why is that? Because guys don't want to, you know, it's like this. This is, if we want to make it blunt, why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? What does it mean? Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? What does it mean?
Like,
Like, why should you get a cow and take care of it and all that if you can just get milk for free and you don't have to take care of it?
Yeah, why marry if you can do romance outside of marriage? Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? It means that, it means that why should a guy buy the cow if he's getting the romance for free? If he's getting the dating for free, why should he buy a cow? Another example, why should you buy the chicken if you can get the eggs for free, right? So why should you bother? I know people, I've seen these couples. Now, she loves him so much. And the minute she says, we want to get married, the guy disappeared. Okay? First, before he disappeared, he kept saying, I'm not ready for marriage. I'm not getting married. This is even, he embarrassed her several times in front of me. She says, you're the man of the house. He said, no, I am not getting married. Okay? She is trying to push him into, like, to make him think about the next step. Says, no, I'm just dating. I just want to get the free romance. Why should I get married? You know? You got it? You understand? So the concept is, who is the loser? You girls are the losers. Okay? Who is the winner? Yes. And there was that movie. And there was that movie. I remember that movie about a girl getting pregnant and her boyfriend deserted her. So when she had an abortion, her boyfriend once came back to her. So basically, no one wants responsibility. Do you think that 16, 17 years old boy wants responsibility or wants fun? Fun, okay? So when they date, they are dating for the haram romance. They are not dating because, you know, they say, I love you. They say what? I love you. What's wrong with that? I love you. What's wrong with that? He's being acting stupid, right? Or like he's trying to deceive you. I love you. What's wrong with that? You know what's wrong with that? Because you don't love me. You love the free romance. You love the free romance without paying money for it, without getting married. In Egypt or Muslim countries, no girl, would ever give herself up to a boy. Why? Because Egyptian girls are what? Smart. They don't let boys take advantage of them. Okay? You want romance? It has to be through marriage. Other than that, there is no romance. Good. Okay. Now let's look at this. A guy came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, allow me to date and have a romance. Allow me to date and have a romance. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? You're laughing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? What would be the answer from the Prophet? The Prophet, did the Prophet say no? Surprisingly, the Prophet didn't say no. But hold on. But then the Prophet said something else. The Prophet said, do you accept this for your daughter? He said, no. Do you accept this for your sister? He said, no. Do you accept this for your mother? He said, no. Then he told him, why would you accept it for other people's sisters, other people's daughters, other people's mothers? Do you understand? If you don't accept it for yourself, why would you accept it for others? Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want to date anymore. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on his heart and he made a prayer to protect him. And then after that, the guy became righteous and he all these evil ideas of dating went away from his brain. Okay, now, dating is a sin, right? Right. Could it be a legal crime? Not in the United States.
No, dating
like an adult and you date a child, pedophilia.
But anyway, if a child dates a child, 16 years old dates 15 years old, is this illegal?
No.
Is it immoral?
No.
It's immoral,
yes.
But is it illegal? No. Now, how about in a Muslim land? Is it immoral? It is. Is it illegal?
Yes.
However, watch out. However, in order for it to be illegal, you have to come up with how many?
Four
witnesses. How could you get four witnesses unless they are having romance in the street? Or they having romance in a video that can be seen by... If you have a video, then it's confirmed. If you have a pregnant woman, if you have a pregnant what? Pregnant and married woman. Oh, come on now. Come on. So in order for us to prosecute and to be a legal... Oh, come on, Safa. In order for to prosecute and it becomes a legal crime, it has to be either witnessed by four witnesses, caught in videotapes, okay, or the woman becomes pregnant. Then what is the punishment of this?
Adultery or
dating? Yes, that works for both men and women. Is it equal for both men and women? Yes. Any man or a woman that is not married, then 100 lashes. Okay? But if, yes.
So if there's a woman and she commits adultery, right? They're supposed to get stoned to death, right?
If she's married.
Yeah, adultery. So that's married. So... what if she has a child?
Well, if...
What if she's, like, pregnant?
Well, we don't know if she's having a child.
Like, what if she's pregnant and then they find out and, like they know that she's pregnant but she still has to be, like, stoned to death? It's like, does
yes.
the baby die as well?
Yes. This happened before. Hello? That the guy was... He had a disease. He can't give the children. He can't have children because he has a disease, some kind of a disease. But he has five children at home. So he went to the doctor. The doctor examined him and he said, you can't, it's impossible for you to get children. Then he said, what? How about the five children that I have at home? So guess where did they come from? What if the DNA testifies? However, if it is about witnessing, how many witnesses you need?
Four.
What if you have three?
No.
They get whipped. If they testify, three, they get whipped. If it's two, they get whipped. I'm talking about the witnesses get whipped. So in order for the witnesses to testify and not get whipped, they have to have four or more. That's intended really for somebody who do it when the window's open. Or he does it, or she, they are doing it when the window is open. They are doing it when the door is open, right? Or doing it in public. You see people sometimes doing it in public. So that's, the Sharia will catch them. How about in the private space? Would it be a crime?
No.
No,
it's easier, but it's
exactly. It's immoral. One last thing before you go. What happens if a husband sees his wife doing that? Does he have to come up with four witnesses?
Nope.
No. Then what's the solution? A man came to Prophet Muhammad and he said, if I walk in and my wife is with another man, if I kill him, I get killed. If I stand quiet, then I get my heart burned. Then what should I do? So Allah revealed that those who see their wives, okay? Those who see their wives. No, I need to finish this. So sit down. Sit down. So the Prophet said, I'm sorry. Allah said, those who accuse their wives. Those who accuse what?
Their wives.
Their wives. Without having witnesses. Then they have to swear four times that they are saying the truth, and the fifth time they say the curse of Allah on us if we are lying. For the woman, she has to testify four times that she's lying, and the fifth time is curse of Allah on her if she's not saying the truth. And then they get separated. Separated meaning what? They get not divorced, completely separated. So there is no way they can marry again. All lifetime. Once this accusation starts, that's it. No more marriage, no more relationship. You know, divorced people can remarry and all of these things, right? And they can remarry again. Okay? But if it is accusation from the husband to the wife, then it is final. All right? Assalamu alaikum. Sara, cutie, cutie. She fasted until noontime?
No, all the way until it was Maghrib. It was time.
Wow. Maghrib? You made it? Oh, I thought you fast, like there's a fasting, there's a kind of fasting, which you can get, when you get hungry, you eat. Did you fast this fasting? This is for children, for little children. Did you do this fasting?
What fasting?
Oh. She said, what's fasting? So it's not fasting. So she got the answer right.
Oh, you mean the fasting that you don't eat anything until...
We got this case. We got this case from the girl. From a girl. Her boyfriend is trying to take advantage of her.